If you will repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
That you're talking to me.
That you're talking to me.
This is your word.
This is your word.
And you're talking.
And you're talking.
To me.
To me.
I want to take you to Exodus chapter 23. To kind of give you an insight into why this house of prayer has been celebrating the three festivals every year in obedience to God's word. And if I take you to his word, then you'll have his opinion. And last week, there was a lot of controversy going on in multiples of levels for people who still honor and give, let's say, a lot of time to the Roman system that includes the Roman calendar. And I kind of spilled a few beans on that when I talked about it on Sunday. I don't want to go back there. I'm just trying to tell you, God has his own calendar.
Amen.
And it's not based on occultic and demonic principles and deities. So I add the word deities with an awareness that many people, and I repeat what I did say, you know, remember on Sunday you're worshiping the sun god if you listen to why it was called Sunday. And I could go on. And if you look at the word of the Lord, you see what he established and why he established it. So he talks about in verse 10, for 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Now there's no logic in that, but it's called the Sabbath. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyards and your olive groves. 6 days, do your work, but on the seventh day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkeys may rest, the slave born in your household and the aliens as well may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the name of other gods, and do not let them be heard on your lips. Now, that's a lot. But then he says in verse 14, 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, which is Passover, for 7 days and eat bread without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib. Doesn't say April or March. It says Abib. There's a reason. For in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the feast of harvest with first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. So now the first fruit also represents Pentecost. And it is the feast of Pentecost. That's part of the side notes. Then he says, celebrate the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. 17 should have a circle around it. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. The fat of my festival offering must not be kept until morning. Bring the best of the first fruit of your soil to the house of the Lord your God, and do not cook, etc. Then I want you to kind of take a peek at Numbers 29, which is where I wanted to concentrate on Sunday, but the Lord had me in a different direction, which if you want to know that message, it'll be on the internet in a few more days. But chapter 29 of Numbers. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, etc. We also took communion, which is the lamb that was slain for us. And he had no defects. Now, this coming Tuesday, we're going to be confronting the next level of this feast of the fall. So if you look at verse 7, it says, on the 10th day of this seventh month, hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourselves and do no work. Present as an aroma pleasing to the Lord a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old, all without defects. With the bull, prepare a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, which really speaks of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. With the ram, 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs, 1/10. Include one male goat as a sin offering in addition to the sin offerings for the atonement and the regular offerings with its grain offerings and their drink offerings. And verse 12 says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly again, a holy convocation, and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days, etc. That's a lot of scripture to simply say that God is interested in the harvest. He's interested in what you have done and what you have gained and what he has given to you and to me. And for a long time, I questioned why. Why these feasts? And the Lord made it clear that, you know, he was really saying that these feasts are for him, not for the people. Now, if you look in the New Testament, you'll find that when they celebrate the feast, they call it the Feast of the Jews. You know why?
Is it for the people?
No, they directed and did what they wanted instead of what he asked them to do. And so Jesus still went to the temple and he honored the Father. But why do you think he took a whip and cleaned out the temple? Because it was a money-making deal. Mm-hmm. And he's not looking for the church to be a money-making deal. He hasn't changed his mind, in case you forgot. Now, when this house of prayer was formed in 2002, there was one thing that I told our overseer. There will never be a basket passed from person to person to embarrass anyone. And that includes the person who may have only two little copper coins. The reason for that is because I watched how some areas and some people would pass the basket, and when the basket goes by, they're embarrassed, so they give out of embarrassment. And I said, this will never happen. This will never be a thing that we do at the house of prayer. I don't believe in it. Why? Because he pressed it into my heart that there were many who were injured because of embarrassment and because of a forced giving. And some, I've heard you've got to give $77, you've got to give $700. And then, of course, it's like selling a blessing. And I don't believe in that. I believe that you and I are to honor what God tells us in our hearts to give. So therefore, you're not going to see a basket. We have placed a basket in front of people sometimes because the Holy Spirit pressed in to give to an individual. That's a whole different matter. When actually there was a need to give extra for different hurricanes and people that were in trouble, we have done that. We've put a plate on the table. So our conference are never intended to bring in finances. Finances do come in, and I'm not saying we don't need them, because when we pay plane fare for our friend to come up from down south, it's going to cost. It's going to cost for everything that we do. But if we can't trust the Holy Spirit to talk to you, then we're in trouble.
Amen.
If he tells you to give, then you'll give. And if you're supposed to get a month off, praise God, take a month off. Did you ever see what happens to the cupboard of the person who has a planting season in the spring? I can remember my dad would hold off on all those potatoes that needed to be planted, and he would tell my mother, don't overdo it. You know, keep some for the planting season, because, you know, you're going to have to put some in. And I've shared with you many times when I brought my little, I think she was around 4 and a half, and we planted some potatoes that were already having the little roots out there, and that was Gabby with me in the backyard on her hands and knees and planting potatoes. And of course, when the flowers came, she was all excited, and she was expecting it to be like tomatoes because she had seen those, but we had never planted potatoes before. But I can tell you, the day that I said to her, she was coming over to sleep that night, and I said, we're going to go and harvest the potatoes that you and I planted. And of course, she remembered. She has an incredible memory. So we're digging in the dirt, and she get these potatoes full of dirt, and she was jumping up and down, and she was so excited. But not as excited as the first bite, because we cooked them right away, and we ate them with melting butter and a little bit of fresh chives sprinkled on top.
With what?
Fresh chives. I have a patch of fresh chives that grows in my backyard. So we had an awesome time. It's never been forgotten. Now, of course, I've got a 5-year-old that hopefully in the spring there will be a time when I will plant with her. Because again, it has to be somebody that takes the time to explain what happens when you plant something. And if you plant everything, you have nothing left to eat. Got
Amen.
It? So there's a season to give, but not to the point of you giving out your seed. And sometimes God will actually multiply your seed. He's done it for me.
Yes, he will.
He's multiplied my seed so that I can give more than I expected. Now, is this a altar call to bring in finances? Absolutely not. It's part of what happens in the fall. When the time and the season to give of what you've harvested. Now, if you've harvested lots, you'll what? You'll give with more. If you've harvested very little, you're going to be having a smaller gift. So if you're embarrassed because someone next to you has had a good harvest and they're giving a large amount, what about you with your 2 little copper coins? Remember what our Savior did when he saw this little lady. He said, that little woman gave 2 copper coins, and those 2 copper coins are more than all the others put together.
Amen.
Because she gave out of her need. And she had a need for those 2 coins, but she decided that she was going to test the Lord. I've tested the Lord in finances more than once. Mm-hmm. He's been faithful every single time to keep me going. So why is he taking time to give people not only a Sabbath rest every week, but at the same time for these seasons in the fall and in the spring to gather together and to honor him? And I can tell you, it sets a course for the balance of the year. Mm-hmm. Because he's had a chance to download into you his plan for the coming year. Why was the pressure on Sunday? I can truthfully say, I cried out to the Lord. He gave me a word, but it didn't fit my brain. Did you ever get a word that doesn't fit your brain? So I'm waiting. I wrote it down. Okay? I know how to wait. I don't always do it as patiently as sometimes, you know, people would like me to. But I've learned how to wait. But I said, okay, this is the season of awe. This is the time when God kind of prepares you for the next season. Well, he's already started kind of testing to see how I'm going to act and react. And you heard some of my reaction earlier because Deborah was conferring with me some of the things that she's challenged with. And I reminded her, if you want to insult the enemy, start laughing at him.
Amen.
Just purpose to just have a good laugh. Because you see, he cannot handle your freedom to laugh at him. Because it's like a mockery. He can't handle that. And to be honest with you, I like to see him squirm sometimes because he's made me squirm more than once. When I didn't know that he was on the job trying to destroy me. Scott, you spoke about times when you got to know that the darkness was real. And I can tell you that I've had quite a few encounters. Some of them were unexpected. Some I kind of knew they were coming. I also know that if I stepped out of line and I did something that was out of my territory, I also got slapped. And that slap was really God allowing me to learn a lesson that I'm not God and I'm not his angels. So don't try to take the angel's job away from him. And you try to pull down principalities and powers. That's not your job. Again? So I am saying to you, however, take a good look at your own heart in these few days. Prepare for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement for the Jewish people is the highest celebration of humility. And they humble themselves and they purpose to gather together. And that's what we'll be doing next Tuesday. So consider that truth. And to be able to just say, okay, I'm going to honor you, Lord, because these feasts are yours. These are the times that you said to do this. Holy convocation, a time to really be honest with the Father that you are more than willing to honor his feasts as he asks us to. It's not my opinion. I didn't write the book. And to be honest, I can remember in 1986, my crisis of faith about this information. God took a man from Washington State, brought him out in the East Coast, and drove me cuckoo. And I was so angry because he was putting things in my head that I couldn't digest. It really was going against all the things that I had to unlearn when I came out of my religious background. And he had told me ahead that I was supposed to do that. But now I was going into a new level of all the things that I had learned from the charismatic church. And he was saying, but this is all, a lot of this is not on target. It's a partial of it, partial target. And when he started to put this information into me, I really got tested. I really had a crisis. I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me if this is you and if it's not you. And he did. He made it very, very clear. But I can truthfully say I'm ever grateful. And so I started honoring the feast in 1986, 87. I did the same on my own because there was nobody in the area that was celebrating it. And in 87, 88, actually, I made plans that I really wanted to go to Portland, Oregon. And that's where I went for a week, literally in a campground with a nice little house. And it was an awesome experience. And flew out there. The Lord provided. It was a miracle. The finances came in. And all I can say to you is that is when I really understood why you needed quality time when all the other fluff of works in the family was set aside and I was across the country, so there was no, you know, they all had to wait. I'm coming back, but in a week. And that's when we really, again, got a taste of freedom. Why did he ask them to go to Jerusalem every year? Why did Jesus go to Jerusalem every year? Three times a year he set aside time and he says, follow me. And we say, oh, well, I like the Feast of the Jews. Well, because the Jews were doing their own thing. Why do you think he took the whip? He made them aware that this was a time to honor the Father, to honor the Son, even though they didn't know the Son. They had him in front of them, but they rejected him. And to honor the Holy Spirit, which was about to come, but they didn't know about him either. So their refusal cost them roughly 2,000 years, right? So do we want to wait another 2,000 because we're stubborn? It would be wise to kind of bow your knee and say, okay, God, what do you say to me? And if you're talking to me, I want to hear it loud and clear and what you want from me. Amen?
Amen.
And when you and I know he speaks a word inside of us and then he confirms it and reconfirms it, walk. Do what you got to do and be obedient to the best of your ability and he will honor you.
Yes, he will.
And he'll bless you. He will continue blessing you. So prepare your hearts for Tuesday. We will be meeting on Sunday, but mainly the Day of Atonement is your focus. God bless you.
God bless you.